This is Cross Hope, a daily word of hope and inspiration with Randy Snyder, Senior Minister of Crossview Christian Church. Now, with today's message from Cross Hope, here's Randy Snyder.
Now then, today, the 14th and final message begins from the book of Hebrews, a series called Jesus Is. What we've done is take all the expressions out of the book of Hebrews that identify and mark who Jesus is and what he is in our lives, beginning with chapter 1, where it said that Jesus is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, all the way to chapter 13 today, where it says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's a powerful passage we study. It's a great passage to conclude our study of the book of Hebrews called Jesus Is. The Bible is full of what I call standalone verses. What do I mean by that? Verses that you don't have to know the context. You don't have to know what the verses say before it or after it, but there's power in that verse alone. And many people, even who have very little familiarity with the Bible, have some awareness of standalone verses. The most famous has to be John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life." That's a standalone verse. May I tell you one that I quote more than any other in my office as I'm talking to people? And it's very emotional oftentimes when I share this verse. I love, absolutely love to tell people 1 John 1:9. It says this, "If we confess our sins, he," meaning Christ, "is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And I'm not exaggerating. There have been many, many times over the years where I've quoted that verse to someone in my office only to see the tears come down their face. And they say, "It's really true, Randy. It's really true." If we confess, we own, we acknowledge what we've done. God says, "I'm faithful and just," which means what? He's good on his word. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Somebody came to church today. You just needed to be told that. You can go home now. And I mean that literally. I mean, that's a powerful word for you today that you needed to hear today. Hebrews 11:6, we studied not too long ago. "For without faith, it is impossible to please God." Listen to that again. "For without faith, it's impossible to please God." And then it goes on to say this, "He that comes to the Lord must believe that he exists." We've got to believe in the existence of God. But then also believe that he actually responds to those who seek him. It's not enough to say intellectually, you know, "I acknowledge there is a God." We have to believe that he responds and he rewards those who diligently seek him. Today, we're going to study a standalone verse in a few minutes. I'll spend some time on it. It's from the book of Hebrews also, where it says this, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." There's not a man in this room that can say that about himself. There's not a woman in this room that can say that about herself. There's not some famous person you know that can say that about themselves, that we are the same yesterday, today, and forever. But Jesus Christ can say it, and it can be said of him because it's true. The same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm going to talk about that, but we're going to look at the verse right before that. We're in Hebrews 13, exactly where I left off last week, verses 7 and 8, short passage. Jesus unchangeable. It says this, "Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever." Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Well, again, this is the last message in the series from the book of Hebrews called Jesus Is. We'll continue this message from Hebrews 13, 7 and 8 tomorrow on Cross Hope. Remember, our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org, to listen to any message you've missed or any message you'd like to hear on this program that we call Cross Hope. God bless you. Now then, today we continue with the 14th and final message from the series called Jesus Is from the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews is replete with descriptive phrases and explanatory sayings of who Jesus is, starting right in chapter 1 and concluding in chapter 13. We're in chapter 13 this week. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is part 2 of that final message.
First of all, verse 7, I'm going to apply it to what it's meant to be applied to, but then I'm also going to apply it to dads because I think it works. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. I think it's a reference to the ministers that had died and gone on. That's who I think it was. And he said, remember those people that spoke the word of God to you. Henry Nouwen was a Catholic priest who probably wrote 10, 15 books. I think I've got 6 or 8 of them. I appreciated his writing. And he said that he believed, just as an aside, that a minister's most effective ministry happened after he was gone or after he died. I can remember as a 20-some-year-old minister, 30-something, that I said, I don't agree with that. My effectiveness is right now, right in this day and age. And then the older I get, the more I realize, I think there's some truth to that. That there's something to be said as we reflect on somebody's life and teaching. My dad was at one church for 42 years. He followed a minister who was there for 38 years. So in 80 years, they had 2 ministers, which I find incredible. 80 years had 2 ministers. And it's interesting, I was invited to speak at my dad's 40th anniversary. I went back there to speak for him in Hammond, Indiana, just outside of Chicago. That night they had a program in honor of him. And people got up to talk about my dad. He'd spent 4 decades of his life. But you know what made me mad at the time? And then when I thought about it later, my anger subsided. People got up at my dad's 40th anniversary and started quoting the minister who was there 40 years earlier. And I'm thinking, you know, what's this all about? It's my dad's 40th and you're quoting the guy who was here 40 years ago? And then I realized there's power in his ministry 40 years later, that they were still quoting a man by the name of B.W. Carrier and his impact and influence on them that went on for 4 decades. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you and consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Now, here's what I want to say about fathers. The word leaders, I found in the Greek, can mean any person of influence or leadership in your life. I found the term was used to describe a military commander. It was describing a teacher. It was describing somebody in your life, a guide, an influence in your life. So I'm going to do something you're never supposed to do. I'm going to rewrite the verse, but make it apply to fathers. If we can bring up a rewrite of this verse, remember your father who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of his way of life and imitate his faith. Would to God that could be said of every father in this room and every mother. Remember your father who spoke the word of God to you. What does that mean? That a father's to go around the house preaching and teaching? Well, not necessarily. But may I tell you that every father speaks the word of God by the way he lives his life? Every father and mother in this room speaks the word of God or doesn't speak the word of God by the way you conduct your personal life, the way you treat your brothers and sisters, the way you relate to your neighbors. All of that speaks of the faith that's either there or is not there.
Well, we'll continue this message tomorrow on CrossHope, speaking about remembering your leaders from Hebrews 13, 7 and 8, the last message in this series. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org.
My dad was, I call him honest to a fault. Honest to goodness, we'd go through a drive-thru at a McDonald's or Burger King or whatever, and we'd all place our orders. When my dad would hand out the food and there was an extra order of fries, I can remember my dad going back and saying, you gave us one fry too many. I'll confess to you, I'll eat the fry. I'll be the first to admit it. I would say, okay, somebody's lucky and you got an extra fry, extra hamburger. But he would take it back. But here's my point in telling that. When I observed that in my dad, that little thing, little example of honesty, I didn't worry about him in the big stuff. I didn't worry about him in the big stuff because I knew he was honest in the little things. He was honest in the big stuff. He wasn't doing it for show. That was just his nature. That was just a reflection of who he was as a person, as a man. And my point is this, every day as a parent, you speak the word of God to your children by your example, or you don't. You speak the word of resentment. You speak the word of anger. You speak the word of money. You speak the word of things, power, popularity, success, or do you speak the word of God? in the way you conduct your life. That speaks to every father. Now I'm going to focus in on verse 8. You're going to have three things to write down, three sentences in your notes, those of you that take notes. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That Jesus is unchangeable. His lordship and authority haven't changed. His lordship and authority haven't changed. Jesus said in Matthew 28 something that is incredible. It's incredibly crazy, or it's incredibly true. He said, "All power and authority have been given to me." If a man or woman got up in this platform and said that, you would say one of two things. Either they are mentally disturbed or they're a liar to make that kind of statement. Yet Jesus said it in humility. He said it in simple humility and power that he had all power and authority. Why? Because it was true. He had all power and authority. Now stay with me in this one because this is really important. If it's true that Jesus has all power and authority, do you know what I do as a man and you do as a man or woman when you know the book says something and you go against it and you say, "I know what it says, but I feel this way. I know what it says, but you see, I've got this notion, I want to do this." We might as well stand in front of the person who has all authority and all power and say, "I don't care what you told me, I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't care what you say, I'm the authority. I'm the one with the power, I'm in the driver's seat." Do you realize how crazy that is to speak to the one who has all authority and power and defy him and say, "I'm not going to do what you say"? I heard a man who received his pilot training at a place called Langley Air Force Base on the East Coast, and he said that one of the first lessons he remembers as a pilot, being instructed as a pilot, was the instructor told him, "You've got to learn to trust your instruments when you're flying. The time will come when your feelings will rebel against the instruments, and you think you're flying straight and level, and you're inverted, you're upside down. The time will come when you're flying and you think you're flying straight and level, and you're actually, the nose is dipped and you're heading straight for the ground or straight for the water. And your feelings will tell you one thing, but you have to rely on your instruments." I think you know where I'm going with that illustration. We have to rely on the instrument. There's a time in your life where you've got to decide, either I do what this says or I don't. And you know what? When you come to the place where you say, "I don't," it's really a serious point in life. It really is. When you say, "What I want matters. I'm going to go with my feelings rather than the instrument." Second thing that doesn't change. His love and mercy haven't changed. Meaning that however he loved back then, however merciful he was, he still is. You know the best example, or one of the best examples of the love and mercy of God, and somebody came to church today just to hear this story. It's a biblical illustration out of Luke. Jesus goes to the home of a man named Simon the Pharisee for a banquet. Simon the Pharisee is a good man in the worst sense of the word. Listen to that again. He was a good man in the worst sense of the word. Have you ever known anybody who was taken with their own goodness? Sure you have. You ever met a man or woman and they're so stuck on their morality and stuck on themselves, they kind of give you the attitude, "Well, someday maybe you'll be close and you can touch the hem of my garment, you know, and how moral and pure I am." I have problems being around those people, and so do you if you're normal. Simon the Pharisee was like that. They're at a banquet at his house, and I'll explain this very quickly. They would eat a meal at a table reclining on a couch. Your feet would be out on the couch away from the table, and you would lean on one elbow and you would eat. And the Bible in Luke says that a woman who was a sinner in that town, which meant everybody knew who she was morally, came into the dinner. She just walks into the house and she's standing over the feet of Jesus. And she starts crying. She doesn't say a word. She just starts weeping. Pay attention to whenever a lump comes to your throat. Sometimes you've been in church and all of a sudden you feel overwhelmed with emotions. Happened to me. Pay attention. Pay attention. The Lord's trying to get your attention. She's weeping over the feet of Jesus and her tears are falling on his feet, and instead of asking for a towel or a cloth, Luke says she lets down her long hair and using her hair as a towel, wipes the feet of Jesus. And Simon the Pharisee said, oh boy, if Jesus were really a prophet, he would know what kind of woman this woman was that was wiping his feet with her hair. He would wise up if he were a prophet and know that. And Jesus says to Simon, Simon, let me tell you something. This woman has been forgiven much, and she loves much. He who has been forgiven little loves little. Sometimes the reason some people don't show love is they've received little forgiveness in their life, and he who has been forgiven little loves little. Just a side psychological note there. But she's been forgiven much. And then Jesus says 12 words to this woman that somebody needs to go home today and say, I needed those 12 words. Here's what Jesus says to her. Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. 12 words that changed her life can change your life. Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. His love and mercy are the same. One more. Let's bring it up. Number three, his word and message haven't changed. When I was a youth minister back in the 70s in Florence, Kentucky, I can remember young people in the youth group challenging things I would say at church camp or something I said in a message. And they would come up to me, and here's what they would say. Hey, man, wake up. It's the 70s. Don't you get it? This is the 70s. And then when I was in Columbus, Ohio in the 80s, people said, hey, it's the 80s. Wake up. Get with the program. And then when I was in Texas in the 90s in Atlanta, hey, this is the 90s. Get with the program. Don't you understand? And people today are saying we're in a new millennium. We're in a new century. And God's word and his message haven't changed. Jesus said this, heaven and earth can pass away. The whole thing can blow up. The whole universe. And he says, my word endures forever. If that's true, why would you place your authority and your wisdom and discernment above his? His word and his message haven't changed.
Now then, today, part five of the last message from the series in Hebrews called Jesus Is. This is a message from Hebrews 13, 7 and 8 that talks about Jesus being the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's what we've talked about all this week. We conclude with the final words today. And the next week on Cross Hope, we begin a six-week series from an Old Testament book called Jonah. I have to admit to you, I've never preached from that book before until recently. I want you to hear a six-week series from the book of Jonah. The series is called When God Pursues. When God pursues. Let's conclude the message today from Hebrews 13, 7 and 8. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's unchangeable. God bless you as you listen.
1998, some of you will remember this. In 1998, not in every post office, but some of the U.S. post offices around the country, I'm sure there was at least one or two in Dayton that did this, they had a reverse clock in the lobby of the post office. People told me they remember this. It's been a while. A reverse clock that said, here's how many months are left, here's how many weeks are left, hours, minutes, seconds, until January 1, 2000, the beginning Y2K. And so as you would stand in the lobby in line for 2 hours, as often the case, that's a joke, by the way, as you would stand in line, you would see the time lapse in front of you. And it was very intriguing to me to see time lapsing away. And here's what I thought of one time going through there. What would happen if you had a clock on your wall at home, in your bedroom, with your name on it? Said, here's how much time he's got left. Years, months, weeks, days, seconds, however it would be configured. Had your name on it, and so every day you'd get up and you'd say, okay, that's how much time I have left. May I ask you a personal question? Would you treat your spouse any differently if you had that clock in your house? Would you treat your children any differently? Would you treat your parents any differently? Would you relate to people at work any differently? Would you relate to this book called the Bible in a different way if you knew how much time you had left to the second? I want to suggest to you that we don't know the time. There was a sign over a house in London, England, years ago that said you would weep if you thought you had a year to live. You would weep if you thought you had a year to live, and yet you laugh not knowing that you have even tomorrow. Listen to that again. You would weep if you thought you had a year to live, but you laugh as if you're not even knowing if you have tomorrow. We don't know how much time is left. What we need to do is plug in and connect with the one who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His name is Jesus. I really believe that life boils down to the temporary and the eternal. It's all about one or the other. Everything in my life and your life is either temporary or it's eternal. And most men obsess over the temporary. Most women obsess over the temporary. And you know that's true. You've seen it in your own life. I've seen it in mine. And today the focus is this, to focus on the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's not the system. It's not politics. It's not the economy. It's not science. The one who's the same yesterday, today, and forever is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Don't ever forget it. Let's pray together. Father, as we remember those who guided and impacted our lives, we remember fathers today as people who spoke the word of God to us by the way they lived and the way they conducted their lives. I pray a blessing on every dad that's here today so that someday his children will be able to say, our father spoke the word of God to us by the way he conducted his life. He spoke the word. It was obvious what he believed and the one he believed in, the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
You have been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information or to listen to or download a copy of today's message, go to crosshope.org. That web address again is www.crosshope.org. Be sure to tune in each weekday at this same time to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. This program has been a production of Cross Hope Ministries.